You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
So, it's the Neutral Slam with Jimmy Doom and Paul Miz, featuring the Sounds, Screens, Suds, and Citizens of Detroit.
Thank you for locking your brain circuits into the Neutral Slam podcast. That voice you just heard belongs to my partner, who has graced and gratiated landed the world as Eastside Elvis, the frontman of Ween tribute juggernaut Megaweege, and for years, one of the proprietors of Detroit's beloved Caju Cafe and a personal friend of Anthony Bourdain, Mr. Paul Miz.
Woo. Thanks, Jimmy. It's great to be working with you. I'm looking so fired up for this. And
right on.
Jimmy Doom doesn't need an introduction, so we're going to just proceed with the show. Actually, well, we will. He doesn't really need an introduction. Everybody knows him, but just a brief description. Jimmy Doom is a lifetime Detroiter, a writer, actor. He's appeared in such films as Kill the Irishman, Wild Faith, and the upcoming comedy Fun Time. But I think he's still known best as the front man for the legendary punk outfit, the Almighty Lumberjacks of Death. I mean, if you didn't get a chance to see ALD, it's a loss for you. But
if you have YouTube, you can see it on there.
You can see it on there, but it's not the same as being at a live ALD show. And Jimmy's going to introduce our guest now.
Thank you, Paul. I am Jimmy Doom, alongside our Senior Vice President of Content, Conflict Resolution, and Ego Management, Mr. Rob Asher. Rob Basher, we are thrilled to have as our first guest, rock lifer and renaissance man, a guy who has done and seen things that would have the Game of Thrones writers go to confession, Mr. Mike Moyanis.
Hey.
Thanks for being here, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
We are thrilled for you to tell the world. Mike got his start years ago. We won't say how many years ago in the rock and roll business.
100.
And yeah, so tell us, I would like to know right off, and I would like the people who don't know, what was the spark? What was the one thing that
first,
made you?
Right now, the spark is, let's get your extra mustache hair off the microphone. It's bumming me out.
Okay, housekeeping. Okay, Mike, that was what. God, are you anal? No, seriously, what was the spark? Was there a person, a moment, a band? What was the thing that made the young Mike Moyanis? And there was a young Mike Moyanis one time. What was the thing that made you want to go into the music business?
Honestly, I always liked music, obviously, but. A lot more than I do now, but now that I do it for a living, it's not as fun as it used to be. But Tom Templin was working for Seduce, and me and Sean, his younger brother, were in school together, and he kept playing cassette tapes and whatnot of them, and I was like, I have to see this band, and started going to see him when I was still in high school. And it's ruined my life.
At the Ritz?
And it ruined your life.
No. The first time I ever saw them was the only time Seduce ever wore capes, by the way. But it was with Merciful Fate, Exciter, and King Diamond at the Grand Circus Theater with No Heat in December. And basically there was 200 people there, or 250 people there.
That was the one with the vibrating stage, right? The Grand Circus
thing? Oh, yeah. Well, it was like so cold. There were the
300 building. Yeah.
The 300 people that were there all huddled together because it was fucking freezing. I remember everybody's just passing weed around, and I was like, whoa, that chick's not even wearing a jacket. How's she doing that? Well, she's a stripper. This music business stuff looks good. I don't know. That's kind of where it started for me.
That's the embryo. That's the origin story of Mike Moyanis. For those of you who don't know, Seduce back in that day, they were the kings of Detroit hair rock, Detroit metal.
They were Motley Crue before Motley Crue was.
They were in a movie. They were featured in the...
Yeah, that movie fucked them. Yeah. Like, they could have signed with a bunch of different labels, and because of that movie, they signed with IRS, and they were on IRS.
Wow.
So they seriously were better than Motley Crue, better songs. Yeah, that whole time was crazy back then too. Like,
yeah. It was an old punk rocker. I remember they were one of the few metal bands that the punks would go to see.
Yeah, they would play like Twist It Loose or a couple different songs that
Viper's Bite.
You'd see the punks and Skins jump into the pit like nobody cared.
Nobody cared that there was Aquanet going on the stage, but it wasn't Mohawks. It was all poofy. And yeah. I love you, Dave Black, and Chuck Burns. And
I mean, Chuck Burns was also the drummer of Heresy at the time, too. So
yeah, I mean, but even predating
what band
Heresy,
has he not been in? Let's save some time and mention the band.
He has not been Eastside Elvis or ALD, I don't think.
No, he hasn't worked with me yet. I think.
Yet.
He's not going to slum like that. I think he's
So you go to this grand circus show, and like you're just some jerky kid who knows one of the guys who works for the band. How did it evolve into where you ended up working?
Well, I started going to more and more. Instead of hanging out with Sean, I started hanging out with Tom and going with him every weekend. The Ritz, Tracks. My favorite venue.
Ramones, actually, the Sweatbox, man. You were like,
three days every year. So because of me going to shows at Tracks with him, all of a sudden I became the lighting guy there, and I think I was 17. We did the Ramones three shows every year. We took out every stool, railing, everything, and it was awesome. And I got to actually hang out with the Ramones the first time I did them, because they stayed at the Midway Motor Lodge on Van Dyke, which was close to where I lived. So I was like, yeah, I'll come back for a drink. I was just like, holy shit.
The Battle of Midway.
Yeah, in the middle of suburbia, like nobody knew where they were staying or anything. And I kept my quiet. I didn't tell anybody. I'm going to tell you where they're staying, but holy shit, that was cool. Yeah.
Partying with the Ramones.
They seem like an interesting group of characters. I mean,
the only one that was still, like Arturo, the guy that came up with the logo and made all their merch, he was partying. Like I remember the first show, me and Chico, RIP, worked for Seduce for 100 years, were running Spotlight. And he's like, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. Are you guys ready? And I'm like, yeah. And we had headsets on. The three of us were 2 feet away from each other. And he lifted up a cigar box with a giant mound of cocaine and goes, moved it with his hands, made three lines. He goes, do it. We're ready to go.
What Mr. Moyanis means by cocaine is a Peruvian nose yoga. It's a health regimen.
Yeah, it's a supplement.
It was a supplement. That's good. It's a supplement taken nasally. It's not an illegal substance.
Not at all.
Well, it's necessary if you're in the Ramones.
So what you're insinuating to us is that the lighting department of rock and roll establishments like might have used supplements?
Yeah, that's why I don't have a lighting guy at Smalls, by the way. Sorry, Jeff Davies.
Great. So, I mean, what was the time frame on that? Like, you're just a jerk watching Seduce, and then that next thing you know, you're hanging out with the Ramones.
Yeah, I mean,
how long did that take? And what approximate years are we talking? The 80s?
It was like 83.
Okay.
When I went to that show, by 86, I was working at Tracks.
Yeah, their Tracks heyday for the Ramones, I think, was right around like 83, right through 87, I want to say.
Yeah.
Maybe like, even a little later.
It wasn't just them, too, though. They're like, all those bands used to come through. Like,
yeah, the Mystery Girls opened for them.
Yeah.
There you go. Remember Mystery them? Girl shot. Right out of the gate, we got a Mystery Girl shout out.
Well, okay. I started kind of like going to the Seduce shows and helping Tom. And there was a falling out at some point with like the original crew. And I kind of stuck around, forsaking my friends, stuck around for the music and started working for the band. But then Murder Style, my buddy Richie, was in Murder Style, and he's like, hey, we're playing the show, will you work for us? And I was like, yeah, sure. And like, we opened up for Thunders at Tracks.
Johnny Thunders, that is.
And the Damned at St. Andrews. And
wow, that would have been a
they were so the Mystery Girls and Murder Style had like this huge rivalry. They hated each other. I'm more glam and girly than you are more glam and
this
girly.
This is a great time to say you can call into our show. Even though we're in Detroit, it's 248-809-5004. So if you were in the Mystery Girls, Dave, Kevin.
Stop it, Kevin.
Or if you were in Murder Style, Al Valentine.
I don't think Al owns
it. Call into the show if you have a question about this. So you're in the middle of this big Aquanet-fueled rivalry.
It was This was more than Aquanaut. There was a lot of makeup.
Yeah, there was.
There's a lot of jingling bracelets. I remember being in the studio with Murder Style going, did you get to take off all those bracelets? The
microphones Rob Asher, picking up could you everything. Dig up, could you Google pictures of Murder Style or the Mystery Girls? But that Murder Style, you can find on Facebook.
Richie was the guy that was like, come on, dude, you should start working for us. And I was like, well, if Seduce is not playing, I'll do it. And started with that. And, Richie passed away a little bit ago.
Yeah, Richie, he was a great guy.
He got to play at Smalls 2 days before. And he hadn't played for like a year. And like the guys in Coven, a bunch of guys I went to high school with. And him.
Yeah, shout out to Coven, my good buddy Dave Landrum. Yeah, who's been around forever.
Creta, McGuckin.
He was an original member of Son of Sam, legendary Detroit punk band, and then he moved on to Dance Macabre. And everybody, when he was in Dance Macabre, they were playing St. Andrews, and people thought that he sounded like Bowie.
He did, for real.
I mean, he really. And
he's like Bowie with a giant sword. It's like Bowie meets Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Wow. Right on, there you go, Dave Landrum. So check that band out if you get a chance. I don't know if Coven is going to go on without Richie. If they can,
I just saw something that they're going to release some stuff that Richie played on.
Right on.
I mean, Landrum's a badass. He keeps posting pictures of Richie, which I saw one at 4 a.m. the other night as I was falling asleep. I was like, oh, that's a great picture. And then I had a dream. I was trying to call Richie that night. So I was like, okay, I'm not looking at Facebook right before I go to bed.
That's probably a good thing not to do in general. No Facebook before bed. You'll have bad dreams, right?
You just get riled
up. There you go.
Yeah, you're either pissed off or you have weird dreams. One of the two.
Yeah, Facebook can piss you off. Try winding down.
Oh, really? Have you ever watched me on Facebook?
Yes, I have. And we're not talking about that. Okay, so
Jim Leland rants.
So you're in the middle of this. You're in the middle of this rivalry between the two bands. What happens next? Where did Mike Moyanis go once you got out of that Donnybrook and melee?
Well, yeah, that slap fight. Kind of just started working. Well, Tom was also working at St. Andrews then, so he started bringing me along, and that jackass Chris Panacki hired me to start loading shows. And so I started loading there and doing lights and whatnot there. We had some of the craziest kick-ass shows ever, like Iggy Pop. I ran lights, but they were like, oh, we don't have a lighting guy. Who knows how to run lights? I was like, well, I do. So I'm the lighting guy for Iggy Pop, a show that we probably turned away 500 people at.
Was that the Riff Iggy Pop show?
No.
What year are we talking?
Cold Metal.
Oh, yeah.
Cold Metal was like the single. I don't remember the name of the record.
It's like the late 88.
Yeah. But he hadn't played here in a while, and people were flipping out. And
I think I was at that show. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, great show.
Because I remember he still had it.
I mean, he'd already been around 20 years. Oh, yeah. But he was just crushing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
He still has it now.
He still has yeah. He still has it.
Well, one of the tours we did with Seduce was that tour. Seduce opened up for Iggy Pop all through Canada in like hockey arenas, like 5,000 seat hockey arenas.
Wow.
I got to see Iggy Pop every night. And it was like Andy McCoy from Hanoi Rocks was playing guitar. Can't remember his name. The guy from the UK Subs was playing bass. It was kind of like a star studded band that he had, which also got us in trouble at the border at one point.
Yeah. What kind of trouble was that?
Well, they had a bus, and we were in a van and a trailer, and they had a locked safe, which none of them knew the com for, so there was nothing in it. Try telling customs that when you're Andy McCoy, high as a kite, crossing a border at 4:30 in the morning.
Bob Probert treatment.
We had to sit there until somebody woke up at the bus company and could send them the combination to open it up to show them there was nothing in it. Jeez. And we got sucked into it because we were with them. We were talking with each other at customs, so we probably had more drugs in our van than they did, but I don't know, Dave Black, where'd you hide it?
The Neutral Slam podcast does not condone drugs. We're just telling amusing anecdotes about life on the road in the rock and roll business. And we will get to the evolution of live music in Detroit, but we're not going to stop Mike Moyanis from telling sordid stories on our program. So you were used to touring at a young age, But then you became.
Well, yeah, then I went back to St. Andrews when I was just working at St. Andrews all the time, and something happened. I was like the crew chief there and running lights, and I remember waking up early and Perry Lavoie calling me going, hey, a shooting happened or something. Somebody shot a gun off, and I'm not even going to say his name, the guy that was managing it at the time told all the employees to lay down in the coat check room, and he laid down too while mayhem was happening. He's like, can you take over? And I'm like, do what? And he's like, be the manager. And I was like, yeah. I already kind of run the place anyway, so.
And in that era, St. Andrews was the number one live venue for and what they had termed alternative acts, which just you know, that name just seems so bland and homogenized now.
But it's for real. Like, I remember, like, INXS hadn't put out a record for a few years, and they hadn't toured the States in a few years, and the first show they ever played in the States was St. Andrews. So they came and they did this whole, like, press conference on the stage and did their first show of the U.S. tour that they were doing, like, 3,500 seaters. Their first show was St. Andrews because they wanted to come back
to
their roots.
Which is capacity about, what, 12, 14?
It was 1,000 at the time.
At the time, okay.
I don't know what it is. I know it went down to 8, but then Live Nation pumped a bunch of money in, and they have wider fire exits. I don't know what it is.
fire exits and richer fire commissioners.
Stairs that might work now. And
I'm not insinuating any wrongdoing. disclaimer.
You're just super disclaimer guy.
It's
Jimmy Disclaimer Doom.
Welcome to the Neutral Slam podcast where we'll have 3 lawsuits before we're off the air.
You wanted me first.
I do. I'm glad we have you first. I mean,
the best St. Andrews show I think I saw was 1984. I kind of remember the day that it was the Tigers were doing their 35-5. That was over, but they were still – Sparky got ejected. And then we went and saw the Cramps at St. Andrews Hall, and that was a mind blower. That
that's
was
a
life
song right there. Sparky got ejected. Then we went and saw the
Vertical
Cramps.
Pillows open for him. So
that should at least be a lyric. That should at least be a lyric.
Hi, Dana. I think Dana promised she would listen in. Yeah, so
I thought the Tigers were 32-8.
That's right. What did they do? 34-6 or something? Something crazy.
No, they were 35-5.
What was Lux Interior's batting average?
Well, he took off his he had his leather pants or pleather, and he basically wrung it out over his mouth and like drank his own sweat. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's good to have goals,
to that
Paul.
Point,
it's really
right
good
now,
to have goals.
Because, like, if it's still there. Right now,
still
I'm a little worried.
No, it's still there.
Yeah. Lux Interior wringing sweat is the coolest thing.
Goals, life goals. Hashtag life goals.
I mean, that's why, like, him and Iggy, I mean, these guys just never cheated their audience. And they played a long time. You just never, I mean, I think I saw from that time on, from 1984, I think I saw every Cramps appearance in Detroit, except for one when I was on vacation in Europe. But those guys never
very, very bougie, Paul. Very bougie.
They never cheated an audience. Never
no,
mailed
for sure.
it in. It's hard to do. Just like ALD. You guys never cheated.
That was by accident, though. It was, the buzz hit it.
Even the Sex
time.
Pistols cheated the audience. Remember, Rob? When he,
Texas.
I mean, I think plenty of bands have. And we might as well segue into, you know, what are live music. A lot of people aspire to tour and do things. What are some of the things you saw either on the road or at a house venue you worked at that were really disappointing? Because you said it in the intro that you don't really like music that much anymore.
No, I mean, I do.
I know you do.
You get
but
jaded,
I mean,
though, running a club.
There are bands. Yeah. Here's another one, Murphy's Law, that they're always entertaining.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you were at the show. I made you get up and sing with them.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I'm like, get up there. But they played 90 minutes. What, they played 9 songs?
Yeah, I mean, but it's an entertaining show.
It was a great show.
Doesn't feel cheated. They feel part of it.
Yeah, because Jimmy talks to every single person in the goddamn crowd. Like, he just keeps going and going and going.
So,
I was like, get up there. Stop him from talking.
So, I mean, but, like, let's talk about some negative things you've seen, some bands that weren't, that they were subpar, that. Let's get some dirt. Might as well have some dirt.
Well, I mean, what? I'm not dumping dirt here. Are you kidding me? I don't know. There's no bands that I can remember that just sucked.
In all your years at St. Andrews, Michael?
See, okay, now you're calling me Michael James. I don't know. Like, I remember Big Country refused to play because everybody that's ever played St. Andrews knows about the radio frequency that used to come through, and it wouldn't stop, and they were freaking out.
Didn't you just have to put tinfoil on your Marshall or something?
Yeah, that's like pretty much it, but they were just such bitches. They just kept whining and whining, and Panacki and the tour manager almost fought, which was great, because I was like, this is great. I don't care who wins.
Chris Panacki is not a household name in Detroit. I mean, but in the Detroit music business, he absolutely is. Everybody knows him as Cool Chris, and he is a character somewhere out of Gindin, out of Family Guy, out of Rock and
Captain
Roll High
Caveman.
School. Captain Caveman. This guy is
for your younger listeners.
This guy has done sound for probably every major, at least a quote unquote alternative act, and just a wild man, knows his stuff.
Yeah,
and really, he's
Bill Cozy.
He's no Bill Cozy. He's with us.
Bill Cozy, that's a shout out, Bill. I know. I saw you sitting there. I don't know if you're still around.
Yes, downstairs. We're in the Detroit Shipping Company, if you weren't previously aware of that. So if you'd like to drop by the studio, even there's a bar downstairs.
And Bill is having a good hair day.
Bill's having a
Those
good hair
know
day.
Those of you know Bill.
Doesn't he always?
No, he does not always.
And H2O. I just want to point that out. Bill is at the bar with an H2O.
Yeah.
Good for my man Bill Cozy. Sound engineers generally, like LDs, like to party. Then sometimes you got to retire. But so have you ever enjoyed our listening audience? Have you ever enjoyed a show at St. Andrews? Cool Chris or Bill Cozy more than likely mixed those bands at some point.
Going to bad experiences there, which I don't know if you were a part of this, but I just remember Eddie Spaghetti from the Super Suckers was fuming pissed at somebody. He was just screaming at somebody.
At St. Andrews?
Yeah.
I wasn't at that show.
I think it was him.
He's been real happy every time he's played Smalls.
I think they were opening for the Reverend Horton Heat, I believe. And I don't remember what year it was, but I've heard about that. Screaming and pointing.
Well, I saw Yngwie Malmsteen play there, which was kind of a weird thing to be at St. Andrews at that time, but
All the guitar gods, because I did a Steve Vai show there.
Well, Yngwie fired his monitor guy after three songs.
Wow. Mid-show.
Yeah, like mid, just get off the fucking stage, screaming, threw something at him. I was like, okay. Somebody's like, who's doing monitors? I was like, not me. He just fired a guy he knows. I'm not getting back there.
We can't fire you. Cause you're,
I mean, they... They could have tried. Monitor, they could have tried.
I have it on good authority that monitor engineer is much more challenging than front of house because the crowd doesn't pay your paycheck.
The crowd doesn't pay you, and they can't go, can you take a little 10K out of this, please?
And the crowd doesn't have an ego.
Well, this is Detroit. Let's not get crazy.
Okay, yeah, everybody in the crowd has an ego.
Everybody's in a band, so I could do that better. No, you can't.
And that is how music evolved because of technology. Is all these kids could grow up learning how to play guitar on YouTube. Honestly, you had to have a teacher, like a real person in the house with you.
Honestly, I'll tell you, like, there's not a lot of young guitar players coming up. There's not a lot of young musicians of any kind coming up.
They play, it's download. They download.
Because they can become a DJ real easy by sitting in their bedroom.
Jim Morrison predicted that, by the way. He basically said pretty soon people are going to be, it's going to be technology, the instruments are going to fall by the wayside.
Well, I mean, like, when
I want Rob Asher to look that up, that Jim Morrison predicted the
look it up.
The advent of the DJ. I also want Rob to see if we're getting any questions on the
Facebook page. You're in the Kaju Baseball League, aren't you?
I am.
That's how I knew you.
You guys don't know me? I thought you guys, nice to meet you.
I said nice to meet you, and I was like, why do I know that guy? I'm like, I remember.
He's got a beard. Because you weren't at the draft live, I don't think. And
he's got this crazy beard.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, that crazy beard.
Crazy beard.
Take it easy, Fu Man Paul.
And our rookie engineer, Samantha, just went, what are these guys talking about? They just went off on the hugest tangent in the world. And now she hates us. And she's on her phone.
I think she's hated us from the get-go. Good luck with these guys from this point on, too.
We lost her with them. What was the old guy reference? Yeah. I mean, these are all been old guy references, but we would jump the shark with one of them.
You went all the way old with Jim Morrison.
You really did. It's all on you. It's all on you, Mazaraka.
Yeah. I did not know that he predicted that DJs would take over the world.
Kind of. I mean, he didn't say DJs, but look them up, Robbie. I mean, they should be able to.
I don't see it on after.
Okay, well, screw Jim Morrison. If any of our listeners bothered to send us messages to the Facebook page.
But that's a big, not like, there was always back in the day, and you know that, there was always back in the day a bunch of 16-year-olds that are playing like their parents would drive them to the show or whatnot. There's no young-ass bands anymore. There's a couple that actually draw really well, but there's so few of them now because there's not a, like when people kind of graduate from the scene and stop playing music, there was always somebody else that was coming up. That doesn't happen anymore.
There's a couple I can think of.
There's a couple, but it used to be a ton.
I'll shout them out. I mean, the Stools. We were talking about them the other day.
Yeah, they played Kelly's when I was at Kelly's, booking Kelly's.
They kind of get it, you know, what.
Oh, yeah, there's some great kids out there.
I'm not saying there's none, but there used to be between, you know. 10 for every one that was kind of leaving.
I think I just caught our man, Mike Moyanis, but I'm not going to punish him this time. This here is the Ajar. And because we at the Neutral Slam Podcast take pride in having good discourse, any of our guests or ourselves, if we end up saying the word awesome, which I just did, we have to put $1 in the jar. It costs you $1 to say that, so you will think about your answer.
Did I say that?
I'm not certain, Mike. I told you you weren't going to be punished.
Can I get a playback, please? I'm kidding.
So, yes, for future reference, this is the Ajar. We're going to collect dollars from anybody who overuses that word, A-W-E-S-O-M-E.
Even if you call up and play Awesome Sound by Ween,
you owe a dollar to that.
I'll put a dollar in for that. I'll put a dollar in for the disclaimer.
The pot. Yeah.
I know I'm sitting close to you, but I really dislike Ween. I don't get them at all.
I know. I know there's people that
we've had this talk before.
I think all I can really say to the people that don't like them is I just want you to not like them for the right reasons. If they're not your cup of tea, that's
they're not my cup of tea.
But if you think they're a jam band and like Fish, and they're not like that at all. They do all.
In fact, until you just said it, I never actually thought they were. Now I am. But
what don't you like? What don't you like about them?
I just don't like them. Doesn't that like?
Because they have them. If they think they're a jam band, then they obviously haven't been exposed to 90% of their material.
Okay, so the albums are jammy, but they just play like the albums in live? Is that?
No, they do all.
Because we asked that question on Facebook.
They do punk. There's some punk songs. You ever hear the song, It's Gonna Be a Long Night? I mean, that's like any one of the.
I think I've heard you do it.
Yeah, we did it. Yeah, we do it. Yeah, Mega Weeds does it. Stroker Ace. I mean, Robbie was the original drummer for Mega Weeds. He knows.
I realize that.
So I mean that's one thing. I mean everybody has their opinion, and I'm fine with people not liking them. But when it's based on things that they don't know about the band, that's when it sticks in my craw a little.
I've seen them live a couple times.
Like, yeah, that applies to just about anything in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Where people are like, holy shit, Ween's coming to town. I'm like, and. But I like stuff that people don't.
Well, thanks for having us play at Smalls anyway. Then
hey. You know, somebody once asked me, like, who's your favorite band to book? And I'm like, the ones that draw.
Yeah.
You
could have a monkey shitting into a fan on stage and it draws 300 people.
GGL. Yeah.
You get every week.
Yeah.
We had our good turnouts and then on our not so good turnouts, I think is our. We're bad about 500 at Smalls.
500 is a good average.
But yeah, I mean, that's my only. I know there's other friends. I won't mention their names. That I showed them some of these songs that they hadn't heard, and they're like, "Well, you know, maybe I'll rethink this." But But you guys, I mean, and Jimmy too. Jimmy and I argue about the Beatles. It's like there's contrarians that just – I think some people are just contrarians to say that they don't like the Beatles and don't really – but guys like you, you guys listen. You guys have your –
I think the Beatles were great what they did.
You think them through before.
I don't want to listen to the Beatles anymore, but I think they were great at what they did.
Yeah, I think with me and
the
Beatles.
I have the same thing with Led Zeppelin, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with this resurgence in stoner rock, and everybody's got their opinion about Greta Van Fleet, which I think is ridiculous. Like, it's a bunch of bitter old fucking people that never made it that are pissed off because these kids are. Because they're nice kids. And they write decent songs, and they're a decent band. They're not great. They're not the best band in the world, but...
Yeah, I'm not going to buy their records. I'm not going to see them live.
Yeah, but somebody's buying their records.
I'm not going to.
Somebody definitely
them.
Is.
I'm not gonna, I just,
and how about Al Sutton for a Grammy? Al Sutton has produced tons of local bands, at starting at White Room and moving to Rust Belt. And, Al Sutton, he produced a lot of bands for a lot of
Well, I think Greta Van Fleet did good in spite of Al. Fuck you, Al.
There you go, Al. That's all the love you're getting from this. No, really, I'm
come
so
on, do you really think he would stoop so low as to listen to something else that he isn't mixing? God, no.
I like the mix.
Where's the camera
Samantha's
at?
Given
fuck
us.
You,
we're,
Al.
Yeah, we're down with this mix. How does it sound in front of house?
They were on Saturday Night Live.
When do we go live?
Can we go back to hating
Led Zeppelin?
Because I'm down with
that.
Oh,
yeah. I hate Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. I'm just.
I think they should be barred from the radio. I'm sick of it. Like, I'm in the sweet spot right now because my lease still has free Sirius. So I don't have to listen to Detroit radio, which apparently they have some kind of contract with Satan that says they have to play Led Zeppelin every fourth song.
You know, I can't say that.
Since I was 5 years old. Which is at least 20 years ago.
Here you go. I haven't listened to Detroit radio since Susie Cole left.
Wow.
We got Susie Cole into our first broadcast.
Wow. Well, Susie Cole is rocking that shit out right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's in L.A.
She's in La. Yeah, she's her. Definitely in La.
But, okay, well, let's go back to some live music.
Yeah. I'm in the Foo Fighters overrated camp too. I'm not a huge
Well, fan. I'm leaving now.
Yeah. No, I mean, but at that point everyone is overrated. I'll say this about
the Foo Fighters. They put on a great fucking show.
Dave's a really good guy.
He's a really good guy. Chris Shiflett, a really good guy.
Yeah.
I met him through Suicide Machines.
Well, I could be biased. One thing I saw that stuck in my craw. And I don't think
I know it's very unpunk rock to like the Foo Fighters, but I don't care.
No,
I think they're the best American rock band right now or in the world.
I mean, Dave Grohl had a shirt. I mean, we all love Lemmy. Everybody loves Motorhead. I think we're all in agreement on that. And maybe this is why, maybe I am biased, but he had a shirt. And see if you can find this, Robbie. Somebody posted it.
Robbie has to find us somebody who has messaged our Facebook page.
They posted it on
Facebook. Has anybody said anything?
But he had a T-shirt that said, fuck Elvis, Lemmy is king. And I was like, Dave, okay. you're not, you don't have the chops to do that.
Here's what I'm going to say. If you're on the road 310 days out of the year, you're probably going to wear any clean T-shirt somebody hands you.
I don't honestly think that Dave Grohl hates Elvis or you.
Well, he might now after I just...
Well, maybe now, because I'm quite sure he's listening.
I just think as a front man, he makes a really good drummer for interpreting Kurt Cobain's...
Come on. Name a better front man than him.
I haven't seen him live, but... Well,
3 hours of just nothing but high energy and entertainment.
But yeah, I do have... I think there's front men that I think are better, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. The songs they're not
it's
all
the
good
Elvis
to
thing.
Me.
It's the Elvis thing. It just killed your
maybe a little, but I mean, I try to listen to it. I mean, I'm like you guys. I try to like listen to the stuff before I make a judgment like that. But
so the next poll for Neutral Slam is Ween versus Foo Fighters.
I'd like to see that. I think you
would not like to see that, Paul.
Yeah. What was the guy that said he was going to wrap Mike Tyson in a cocoon of horror? Peter McNeely. It would be like Tyson versus McNeely, the Foo Fighters versus.
Yeah, McNeely. He was really good.
Okay, Mike. I'm going to put you on the spot.
All
right. Right now, with guitars, locally, I don't mean who's going to get big. I don't mean any of that. Who is a local band that steps on the stage and puts on a show worthy of the level of the Foo Fighters? I don't have to sound anything like them, obviously, but a rock, metal, punk, I don't care what band right now.
Well, anytime the Suicide Machines take the stage, it's as high energy as you're going to ever see. And it
bias
never,
alert.
Total bias, right. But I don't give a shit. I'm not fucking wrong.
Okay, well, no, okay.
I'll admit when I'm wrong, but I
love the Suicide Machines.
And they're old as fuck, and they still go out there and kick all of these fucking people's asses. Like, but as like a new band that just played Smalls recently, Midas came out, and it's just a great show.
What are they all about?
It's kind of stoner rocky. It's guys from Wild Stallions and sorry, Anthony, I'm fucking up the name.
It's Anthony, yeah.
Franchina's band. What the hell's the name of his band?
I can't believe we're blanking.
You know, Anthony, if you're listening, you can text
us. Yeah, it's not
call
Buffalo.
Call us at 248-809-5004.
Come on.
It is an animal.
Anthony's main band is an animal. It's
what I know.
Buffalo Bison Machine.
Bison Machine.
I am the king of local rock trivia. I figured out Bison Machine.
Yes, you are the king. Here, put on your crown. they were great. There's a lot of good bands out there right now, actually. There's no young good bands that I see. I'm not saying none, but...
And I didn't want to gloss over the Suicide Machines. JD has been doing that for so long. And
yeah,
I mean, they were an important, I thought about this today, but like that they were an important band to the Detroit scene.
They were super important.
They were the Warped Tour.
First couple times I had to work with them, I was like, these jackass punk kids and pulling kids on my stage doing like the 89 X Fest and stuff like that at Phoenix Center. And then Royce started come to St. Andrews all the time. He's like, you need to come out and work with us. I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. And I think it was about 2 hours after Blair goes, do you like working at St. Andrews, Mike? And I go, Blair, I'm in a good mood. I get in my car. I start getting a headache. Halfway down 75, I'm in a bad mood. By the time my key hits the door, I'm just pissed off. I'm like, so no, I don't like working here anymore. He's like, well, maybe we should make a change. I'm like, dude, I told you could have fired me while I was laying in bed. You didn't have to make me come down here. But I think it was about...
And that's how it went down?
No, for real. That's how it went down. And like 2 hours later, I called Royce and went, yeah, I'll do it. And like, I think I was unemployed for 2 days and I got flown to San Francisco and we were doing the first day of the Warped Tour.
Nice.
I was going to ask you how that Suicide Machines thing went down.
They asked me 37 times. I told them, shut up. Leave me alone. Shut up. Your hair is stupid. Why do you have
holes?
Shut
up. Your hair is stupid.
Why do you have holes in your ears and your nose at all times? Like, stop it. And then, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll come. And I did like 5 years with those guys.
Mike, I wanted to ask you, I know maybe you're tired of talking about it, but how you got involved with Grindr. I mean, I know how, for all your youngsters, I mean, Grindr was a band. You know, there's a different.
No,
reference.
For the youngsters, Grindr is a well, no, male on male.
That's what I'm saying. Right. They might not know what the original Grindr. Yes,
it was
funny that Jimmy knew right away about Grindr.
That's fine.
But I know. Actually, my nephews just told me about that one. But Darren's. I know why he started it. He started it to raise money for Konstantinov and Matsukhanov after the limo accident, and they did Step Outside. But next thing you know, they're touring and stuff. How did you get involved in managing them? And
Jimmy's brother Robbie was playing bass for him.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I'm telling you, they'd love to do something, but nobody wants to take charge. And I went to whatever show. I was always out of town touring when they played. Like, I was out of town when they would win. I can remember... We kept playing this place called Peabody's in Virginia Beach. The one year It was the World Series ended. The next year, we stopped the show because the Wings had just won the Cup. And Melissa Matuzak had moved to D.C. and was running whatever Live Nation bought up in D.C. at the time. But it wasn't Live Nation then. She got me six tickets, like four rows behind the bench, to see Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. But they took 3 days off in between. We had 2 days off. I can remember Jay Navarro, by the way, going, fuck it, tell the label I got arrested and we'll go to the game. We'll miss the show. And I was like, yeah, we're getting paid really good. And he's like, how good? And I told him, and he goes, all right, we got to go do the show. But so we stopped the show and made him keep the screen on and so we could watch it.
Right.
And the whole crowd's like, who cares? They're in Virginia. They're like, who the hell cares about the Detroit Red Wings? I'm like, well, we do. But Robbie was like, he was on that tour too, doing merch. I remember he came running across the stage and I think we got shots and whatever. But Robbie was like, you should come and do this and take over. And then finally I was in town when Darren got the Cup. And the next day, I was supposed to leave at 7 in the morning to go to Japan with the Machines and Les and Jake. And I stayed out till 4 because we had the Cup and we were going everywhere.
This was after, like, in the summer of 90 or 80s, 97?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The first Cup. Yeah, it had to have been.
Yeah,
it
was.
The first time they won.
And so I finally got to be there for one of the parties. And I was like, you guys should do more shows. And he's like, can you make it happen? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, all right, we'll drink out of the cup. And I was actually, my arm, like, there's a picture of, like, Darren and I think Chelios and somebody else pouring booze, pouring the cup into somebody's mouth. It's actually mine, but I'm not in the picture. My hand is on it. But it was, like, on the front page, like, party time or something like that. So I started just booking shows, and it was not that hard. And we give a lot of the money to charity, which Darren had as the foundation.
Right, right.
And it just kind of kept going. I was like, hey, we can do next weekend too. Like, he was married and couldn't leave all the time. So I was like, well, we could do the next 30 days in a row if you wanted. You can't do it. So we're doing like 3 and 4 day runs. And
yeah, and I know I think I read his book. I think he did a 80 city. That was the biggest tour. Did he do an 80 city tour? Or?
I think I was gone by that
okay,
point.
Okay. But, and it always goes hand in hand, I think. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, the jocks, the athletes want to be rock stars, and
There was a day that the Boston's played at Crowfoot that all the Wings were there, and the Boston's were super excited to meet them. And the Wings were super excited. I was like, this is hilarious. I can remember taking Darren. Foo Fighters played Kobo. And Rhea Suker let Darren park his car right behind, like, where the loadout door is. And I was waiting outside for him, like, okay, come on in. I'm going to introduce him. And we're walking in. He's like, holy shit. He's like, holy shit, Dave Grohl's right there. Dave Grohl's right there. I go, dude, be cool. You're famous, too. Relax. He was like, okay, like, took a couple breaths. He's like, all right.
Like,
he was totally fine when he did it. But, like, right, because there was, like, this little window in the door, you know, and he looked in and went, oh, holy shit, that's Dave Grohl. I'm like, yeah, who'd you think you were going to meet? But
you are listening to the Neutral Slam podcast, and I'm thrilled that we got to make that point tonight that there's not this cavernous or gargantuan gap between athletes and rock stars and
no, they both want to be each other.
They want to be each other. So the people out there in social media land that complain about sports ball, the people that you worship, the guy playing keyboards, the drummer, whoever, the woman doing vocals, those people appreciate what athletes do. And it really drives me nuts that people that, oh, sports is stupid. It's just stupid. No, it's a talent. Just like playing
it's
guitar.
It's the same
is a
difference.
Talent.
You've been playing
skating
guitar
at
80 since
miles
eight?
An hour is a talent. Well, they should all be appreciated, not one or the other. That's really ridiculous. I mean,
it has the same intensity, you know, a playoff game or a show in front of 50,000 people or whatever.
Or back in the day when, like, bands had to do showcases for a label's coming into town, it's the same thing as Game 7, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then, God, I hope I don't fuck this up and the whole city hates me or my whole band hates me or whatever, you know?
I mean, if I had a dollar for every I'm not going to mention any names, but any performer that was somewhat uninspiring – You see them.
Have
perform,
you watched the Pistons this year?
And then they say then they're into the sports ball. This I'm like, aha! No wonder your stage presence was was boring. You don't get it.
You know, I
mean, they're not all like that. But I'm not going to mention the people that I think are
call
like
them
that.
Out.
But I
Let's
will
make this a total call out.
But I'll go the other. I'll go the other extreme though, and I'll mention a guy who gets it. He's a sports fan, and he's actually a former professional athlete. He was a wrestler, and that's Steve Beggar from the Beggars.
Yeah.
And you can see it in his performance. He just delivers every time.
Oh,
he's
for sure.
A fantastic entertainer.
Yeah, he's a fantastic performer, fantastic guy. And now let's segue right from the Beggars into our buddies at Rocket Printing. And I want to thank them for sponsoring this show, as it were, Rocket Printing, rocketonestop.com. They do my headshots, but don't hold that against them. They do fantastic printing work there in Royal Oak. Rocket One Stop.
A guy with your exact voice works there, too.
A guy with that. Jay Strangler is an employee.
Is he real?
The immortal Jay Strangler. Yeah. Jay Strangler of... Hillside Stranglers, now Detroit 442 fame.
Nice.
And a great guitar player. And I thank Tony today because Tony does take care of the local cultural scene and musicians. And yeah,
I've seen him.
Yeah, I have to go to Rocket tomorrow to pick up tickets and posters and menus and stuff for upcoming shows.
Tickets, nice. Posters, menus. Now you know some of the stuff they do. Yes, use Rocket Printing.
Oh my.
Because we love them. And then you get to see Jay Strangler, who's a rock star, and you can act like a starstruck athlete and freak out. Oh my God, Jay Strangler. Oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't think I would ever say those words like
that.
Yeah,
that was fucked
up.
But
I did. Yeah.
I wish I could. I try my hand at both, but the best that I've done, I think, is I'm a pretty decent feather bowler. I think that's all I got.
At the Caju Cafe?
That's all I got.
Yes. If you've never feather bowled, which is a good chance, you probably haven't feather bowled, but if you have, you've done it at the Caju Cafe.
I haven't in years because the last time I did on that team with Robbie and Ryan and Chris.
It's fun.
We were up like 7-1 in the final. And we got they ran away with the rest of it. We never got, and I was like, I'm never playing this game.
It's a heartbreaking game, man.
I said I'm never playing it again. It's
frustrating.
One of the only things I've ever kept my word on.
It's very frustrating. This is the last night from the men's league, and there's three or four people fighting for the grand champion tonight. Could have been decided already.
Have you felt a disturbance of the force or anything?
The grand champion gets a portrait, right?
Yeah,
like a real oil painting of themselves.
Yep.
So the Caju Cafe, who did not sponsor this show, but maybe they will sponsor future shows. That's where you want to go get some Belgian beer and embarrass yourself at feather bowling.
Yeah, I don't have the pull to make them the sponsors anymore. But
Today, as a matter of fact, this morning, half of the side thought that the Caju Cafe burned down. Because homes behind it burned down.
It was right next to my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
Literally, like right next door to it.
Yeah, crazy, crazy. So we are running out of time. Mike, having seen so much and done so much in the business, and I want to also let you plug some stuff, but what would you say to young bands now if they are not DJs and they're guitar players, they're musicians with a band? What to do at a live show? How to behave?
How about this? First off, don't book one show every weekend within 10 miles of each other. Make shows events like bands used to. Not everybody back in the day was ALD and Seduce. Like, it didn't matter. People just showed up because they heard they were playing. But there's so many different options now, so many different bars. Everybody with 10 feet of space and a microphone as a promoter or a venue. So bands say yes to everything. Stop saying yes to everything. Don't play. Play every 3 weeks, maybe, in Detroit. Go play Ann Arbor. Go play Toledo. Go play someplace else. Like, bands are like, oh, yeah, we're doing a little tour of the Detroit area. I'm like, what do you mean? You just played two bars in Hamtramck, one downtown, and one in Ferndale in four straight days, and you're wondering why your crowd isn't that big. Make things an event. Don't count on social media to do everything, because that's all anybody does. Well, I made a Facebook event. Make a fucking flyer. Make a flyer and take it out to other shows. Go out and see other shows and talk to other bands and get a kinship going with other bands and trade shows. And especially, you like, go if you go out of town, you go to Toledo, you see a band that drew a bunch of people, you know, try and get a show with them, give them a show in Detroit. It's not that hard. You got to do some networking. You got to do some work. You can't just sit there and bang on your goddamn computer and expect everybody's going to come out and see you every time you post an event.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good bands that play way too often, and I've yelled at those bands as I'm giving them $100 instead of $1,000 because I'm like, well, I got no problem paying everybody when they're
right
when
about
it's packed.
The networking. You have to go to somebody else's show, they come to your show.
Yeah. It used to be fun to make flyers.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. But, you know, it used to go, I've gone out with you before. Like, we're going to have some drinks and we're going to pass out flyers at this other show.
Yeah.
You know, hey, by the way, you could meet a girl or a boy if you pass out a flyer to them. You have something to talk about.
You could meet your non-binary soulmate. So,
you know, whatever. Yeah, for you shy people, which I don't know any of, but I've never hung out with any of. But, like, whatever,
I've hung out
man.
With the guys in The Shy before. Remember them? They're still around, actually.
That's my biggest thing is make your show an event. Even if your band ain't great, draw a bunch of people, and I'll have you back.
And we are.
You know what I mean? Like, have fun when you're doing it, too. Don't be nervous about it. It's just a fucking venue, man.
Yeah, running a venue. If they're going to be doing Gregorian monk chants, and if they bring in, you know, 60...
I told you, monkey shitting into a fan. Not G.G. Allen.
Damien from Detroit Can Kick Your Ass calls it whale fuckers. That's what he thinks bad noise music sounds like.
You got to have Jeff, my friend.
Well, he
Jeff
would know
Hicks,
because Damien goes to every show at every venue every night. I don't know how the guy sleeps or lives. I think he's a vampire. I'm not sure.
That's cool, though. Chicks dig vampires.
No, speaking of G.G. Allen, we got to get our friend Jeff Hicks to call in sometime and tell us about his experience at Todd's when he worked at G.G.'s show. He said it was...
And how about Busby Death Chair? They're going out with Murder Junkies. Merle Allen.
Yeah, and they're playing in like Allen Park.
So who's like the singer of
Murder they're playing like St. Louis. They're playing in the Midwest, and the show just happens to be in Allen Park.
I know, but I was like, really? Does Allen Park know what they're getting into?
So how do you get like, who's the new Gigi? I mean, that's like, it's kind of hard to.
Fifi? I don't know.
I mean. Did we need a new Gigi?
I mean, he quit drinking, so he was out. Like, I don't know.
I don't think I rarely crossed over into Gigi territory.
No, you didn't.
I just don't like the way I look in a jock strap. I studied on doing it, but
none of us do. None of us do. All those pictures you were trying to show us before we came on air.
It's like, Mike, get me in the smalls. I'll be the new Gigi.
Hey, Mike, before we end this party, would you like to plug anything? I mean, Mike, I don't think we've even said it out loud that Mike manages Smalls in Hamtramck.
We've owned Smalls for 15 years.
The owner. You have a 20-year
20-year party. We've owned it for 15. Up. We bought it from Perry and Jeff, who now are restaurateurs and are kicking ass. But
That would be Imperial and Anti-Hero.
And Public House.
And Public House. Yeah, there you go.
We bought it from them 15 years ago, and it'll be the 20-year anniversary this year. We got the Grand Nationals back together.
Yeah, I heard about
on
that.
September
That's 27th.
Fantastic. They haven't
I
played a show.
Guys.
And
great guys, too. I mean, talk about a good band. And like every time I stay at a hotel, that song that
meet
they have.
Me at the hotel. Stevie Michael, sing it. I'm stoked about that.
Congratulations. That's a long time in this business.
Speaking of old fuckers and doing shows forever, I'm doing brunch on this Sunday with the Orbitsons.
Wow, nice. Yep.
We did it a few weeks
ago.
If you
don't know, Orbitsons is Vinny from Sponge fame.
Yeah, Vinny Dombrowski.
So go get yourself a human wreckage breakfast burrito or something.
Are you doing your barbecue thing too this summer?
I'll be doing a couple barbecue events this summer. Not as many as in years past because a lot of them, the event people suck, so people don't show up, but they want you to pay a bunch of money to do it. So I'll just keep doing it as pop-ups here and there. And then Saturday we've got Strangelove, which is a Depeche Mode tribute.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And they are badass. Depeche Mode actually posts this band's dates on their site saying, if you can't see us, go check these guys out.
Wow, that's high praise.
Endorsed by Martin.
I'm going to cry my eyes out if we close this show with a Depeche Mode reference. Come on, Mike.
Then I want to announce that Jimmy Doom is going to do it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you are kidding. No, he's like, wait, Nationals, wait. That's great. Tony,
the Grand
Stevie,
Nationals
I'm glad
great.
They're back. That's
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
in the jar. You owe a dollar.
Yeah, fuck off.
Yes, we got him.
I owe you a dollar.
No, it's cash.
Oh, it's
on delivery.
It's coming.
Right here.
I also got Sick of It All coming June 1st.
Yeah, Sick of It All June 1st.
Wow.
We will be there.
Nashville Pussy and Guitar Wolf, May 24th.
They put on a good show. Talk about never cheating the audience.
And here's, because I'm going to end this with going, you guys are fucking awesome.
Thanks, Mike. You're awesome, too.
What?
Thank you.
What am I, too?
Oh, you got him. Oh, you gotcha.
You set the trap, and he walks right in.
Oh, God, he baited the trap, and
do
he
I have to pay
me.
It for you? You know what?
Thank
I'm going to
pay
it for
all
you.
All you non-A-word people out there. thank you for listening to the inaugural Neutral Slam podcast with Paul Miz and Jimmy Doom. I am Jimmy Doom. That's Paul Miz. That's Rob Asher. And over here, our Stadler without his Waldorf, Mr. Kevin Quinn.
Not Kevin Quinn from the trial.
Not Kevin Quinn from the trial. Kevin Quinn from Fun Hog.
There we go.
Ah, that's how I recognized you. Okay.
We're all like, hey, wait.
I love Fun Hog.
And thank you to our friends at Rocket Printing, rocketonestop.com. Get your stuff there, all your flyers. Bands, start making flyers. Thanks to our rookie engineer, Samantha. You are ridiculously good. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of you listening in. 2 weeks from today, Jason Hall of Ride Detroit.
Who, by the way, Jason Hall used to work for me at St. Andrews.
I know that, Michael. I was there.
Stop calling me Michael.
And don't stop listening to the Neutral Slam podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks again to the—
thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks again to the Detroit Shipping Company for having us, and
we'll
see you in 2 weeks.
Yep.